There's a body of water known as the North Canadian River coming into Oklahoma City. I think along about this time you were named president of the Chamber of Commerce in 1990.
Yeah. Incoming chairman for the year 1991. In 1990, I was incoming chairman.
And they say that there was a big meeting, and years from now, people looking back would look on a meeting of the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors as a turning point in the city's history.
That's right.
Talk to us about that meeting.
The chamber board meeting was held in Seminole, Oklahoma, in October of 1990. We all went into that meeting with our nose well out of joint, frankly, because we had lost this opportunity to have a World's Fair in 89. That looked like the thing that would have lifted us up out of where we were. We decided we were going to come up with a plan, a very ambitious plan, something that might take 10, 15, 20 years to execute. And everybody had their pet thing to talk about. Most people supporting most all of the issues, but there'd be somebody pushing particularly for the new baseball park, the new indoor sports arena, the state fairgrounds, a new civic center music hall, a new library, a new transit system. My drive was put water in the river and build a canal from the river through Bricktown to Myriad Gardens. Before going to that meeting, I knew I was going to have a problem with the river because we still didn't really know, does the river really hold water? That started back in 1890 that it didn't hold water, and nobody knew for sure. So a fellow named Pat Downs, who was the secretary of something at that time, he's a bigger title now, but Oklahoma City Riverfront Water Development Authority. They had been formed a few years earlier for the development of the river some way or another. They came up with a plan called String of Pearls, a series of little lakes, which nobody really liked too much, plus the fact that it cost $110 million, so that wasn't going anywhere. But I asked Pat, I said, where can we find some money to prove that the river will hold water before I go to this meeting? He said, well, the River Authority Trust has money in the bank. They've got oil and gas operating properties on the North Canadian. So I said, can you get enough to get this study done? So we did. I think it cost like $750,000, but that was peanuts compared to the project. Got it done, proved conclusively the whole water. So I have that in my briefcase when I go to Seminole. So anyhow, I had a little bit of a battle getting the river into the issue because people hadn't really thought of it that way. But the main battle then was the canal also. I mean, a canal. Years later, I remember walking over to see the canal right after it opened and they put bluing in it to make it pretty. And I passed this guy named Steve Collier, who was the head of the Convention and Tourism Bureau at that time. I said, how's it look? Fantastic. He said, I remember you bringing this up at Seminole and thinking to myself, that's silly, SOD. Well, anyhow, as a result of that, we got him on the ballot. And we got him on our program called Visions for a New Frontier. The next year, Mayor Norrie came to our meeting at Lake Murray and bought off on the plan and properly renamed it. Better name, MAPS.
Then it all took off, but you planted the seed in that meeting way back when, in that city's historical meeting.
Yeah. I got it into the package that became MAPS.
The MAPS plan.
Yeah.
Metropolitan Area Projects.
Right.
And then in 99, the canal actually opened.
That's right. 10 years later.
Some wanted to name it the Ackerman Canal. Or the Ackerman-Bricktown Canal.
Yeah, I didn't want either one of those names. I thought it should be called the Bricktown OK Canal. But anyway, it goes by Bricktown Canal, which is fine.
In 99, of April, you attended the groundbreaking of the Eastern Avenue Dam of the River.
Well, it rained every day, all week, before that Friday. And that Friday dawned without a cloud in the sky. Beautiful day. So a big crowd was out for the groundbreaking. And there was enough water in the river that a fellow by the name of Mike Knopp, who was an attorney for FAA and the president of the Oklahoma Rowing Association, was smart enough to have a few shells in that water there being rowed back and forth. And I'll tell you what, the people really got excited to think that we could have rowing on the river. I came back to my office and I called Oklahoma City University and I said, you've got to immediately get into the rowing business, be the first school here to get into it big time, which they did.
And the University of Tulsa had a rowing team and OSU had a rowing team. As a matter of fact, TU, I believe, donated some shells. My knowledge is that it helped spur the rowing at Oklahoma City University.
It did. That's right. And OSU, I think, did too.
And then a boathouse was built.
Thank God for Chesapeake. My Canop has turned out to be an invaluable jewel asset for Oklahoma City.
Mike Canop is?
Well, he now is head of the Oklahoma Boathouse Trust, and he still has it involved with OCU. We have a second boathouse that's already been dedicated. Devin spent $10 million for Oklahoma City University. University of Central Oklahoma's got a boathouse plan, as does the University of Oklahoma.
What about some Olympic tryouts?
Yeah, the kayak and canoe. We have been designated an official Olympic site. The only river in the United States of America that's got a designation of official Olympic training site. We're going to have the five rings on the river down there.
And when is that going to happen?
It might be happening tomorrow. I don't know. It's there. It just hasn't been built yet. Partially by luck and a lot by planning. This river is much more than anybody ever could have dreamed about. In the first place, when the Corps of Engineers dug that drainage ditch, they didn't know they were designing a world-class rowing venue. It's straight, it's slightly recessed, those are the assets. And although you wouldn't normally think of this, most rowing venues are a long way out of town or a long way from hotels and entertainment. And we got it all one neat little package down there. The river is already known internationally.
The river was known as the North Canadian River, and I guess people had a problem with that name.
Even before we voted on maps in December of 1993, of course, as you mentioned earlier, the river was in the package. I thought that if we got that name changed to the Oklahoma River before that vote in December of 1993, it might help pass the issue. So I had Mary Fallon, Howard Hendricks, Charlie Gray, and another couple Democrats and a couple Republicans introduce a bill at the state thinking we're going to be like shooting fish in a barrel, and it went down in defeat. I couldn't stand the thought of an ABC sportscaster down the road a piece talking about this race in Oklahoma City on the banks of the beautiful North Canadian River. So anyhow, that was the beginning of my effort, and it took 11 and a half years. I kept after it all this time. There were a couple of bills introduced, but always got shot down, primarily with the leadership of the rural community of Canadian County. Canadian County. Just couldn't see further than the end of their nose, you know?
Why was it named North Canadian River in the first place?
Trappers down here in the 1700s. They didn't know where the heck the river started or went, but why not claim it? They were from Canada. No, why not claim it?
So the folks in Canadian County wanted to keep that.
Sure. The rural people all band together, so they had no trouble.
It took you 11 and a half years to change that name.
That's right.
And that was a legislative action.
That's right.
And every year you'd go back and lobby for this?
Not every year, but two or three times. I kept the pressure on any way I could, but I didn't get bills in it just every year. 2004, I think, is the year we got it changed. A meeting was set up. I got the bills introduced. It was assigned to a subcommittee of the Senate. I was invited to come out and pitch it on a given day. Fortunately, I took Blake Wade with me.
Blake Wade, he was the former director of the Oklahoma Historical Society, and then he was named chairman of the Oklahoma Centennial Commission by Governor Frank Keating.
Right. That's who I took with me, which was a blessing, because I was so wound up with this subject. And I was talking. I was overshooting. You know, the whole load of garbage kind of thing. Blake could see I was losing my audience. He touched me on the arm and said, Ray, let me interrupt just a minute and tell him something. He said, ladies and gentlemen, this is about economic development. It was 30 seconds later, millisecond went past. So then it went through the full Senate without any problem at all. Now it goes through a House subcommittee. Before Blake and I went out, Lee Allen was the one who suggested the 7 miles. Just take what you can get. It never occurred to me, but that's where that came from. Take the 7 miles. That's all we need. Now we're dying with the toughest of all is the full house. Leonard Sullivan is the guy who introduced the bill. He was at that time a term limit congressman. Leonard said to me, you know, when you're a term limit congressman, they give you the opportunity, if you want to honor a person or two from your district. And I'm going to honor you because I want to do something so that we pass this vote on the river. I'm going to eulogize you. You've got to come out there while I eulogize you and present this thing to you. I said, come on, Leonard. Well, fine, he convinced me. You know what you're doing, I don't, so I'll come out. So on a given day, I went out there, and fortunately, he had run into Clem McSpadden in the hall, told Clem what was going on. And I worked with Clem those 20 years of the National Farmers Rodeo, so he gets Clem. So I'm sitting there, and Clem gets up and does a number on me. Boy, I am the greatest guy in the world. And then Leonard presents me with this thing, which makes me greatest guy in the world twice over. And I responded to those nice things by saying how much I appreciate it. The vote was, I want to say it was like 70-20 in favor of the change. And that's it. Of course, now I'm working on getting the rest of the river changed, the name changed.
Rest of the river as it is in Oklahoma?
The whole state. The river lies entirely in the state of Oklahoma, except it originates in the northeast corner of New Mexico. Every place else but here, it is still the North Canadian. They have the 7 miles to Oklahoma City. For what we want to accomplish in Oklahoma City, it's okay the way it is. But I'd like to get the rest of it done, too.
So you're still working on that?
Yeah.
Where does it go? Where does it end up?
Lake Eufaula.
Oh, it dumps into Lake Eufaula, yes.
See, what happened was the bigger river is what they call the South Canadian. The history is that the French trappers named the South Canadian River, they named it the Canadian River. Some years later, because this fork above it, so close to it, however it happened, they put the North Canadian label on it, at which point they put the South Canadian label on the Canadian River.
And I think as a result of all of that, you've been given the handle Old Man River.
That's right. And the Mr. Gaylord, Edward L. Gaylord, is the guy that hung them on me, which I appreciate. I'll tell you the reason that happened. The day that the canal opened in 1989, he was having lunch with a fellow named Ed Julian out at Guardia. And I was having lunch with somebody else out there at the time. And on the front page of the Daily Oklahoma on the day of the opening was a beautiful color picture of the canal. And as I was leaving the lunchroom, I passed Ed Gaylord's table. He looked out in the end, smiled, and said, Old Man River. Now, that was his way of telling me he was wrong about the canal and wrong about the river. He is quoted as saying, the canal is the silliest idea you ever heard of.
And did he rail against it in editorials?
Not extensively. That's about as far as it went. That's the silliest idea I ever heard of.
When you got the river into the maps package, how many dollars were they earmarking for the river and
around,
canal?
Somewhere around $50 million.